I'm Bill Zartman, and welcome to It's Your Agribusiness. It's show number 766. That's 766 in our original It's Your Business series. South Dakota State Fair opens on Thursday of this week, runs to Labor Day. We'll set the stage on that with our tri-state neighbor Jim Wooster and our friends at iGrow.org. And we'll check with Scott Verilek, who will have the commodity trendings. We'll hear from the farmer's daughter, talk about your chance to win the lease on a Ram truck from Billion. Visit with another international trading partner with The Rock of Sioux Falls. The Starks and Holt McDowell are in the Twin Cities. Plains Commerce will be on the phone with us. Rick Shields, our Midwest Communication Farm Director, weighs in, along with Todd Neuberger, Main Street to Wall Street, and Craig Marquardt at Vanna Mortgage with a loan snapshot of the day. Those are some of the players. It's time to bring in the young guy, Jim Wooster, from the tri-state neighbor.
Yeah, young is a relative word. That's so. Yeah, good to be here, Bill.
You know, earlier this month, we were at the Sioux Empire Fair. We were. You and the mayor were together. I couldn't get a word in edgewise. They could not hear me. Last week, Dakota Fest and Mitchell, we put you with Lucas Lynch.
Again, you couldn't get a word in.
Oh, I turned my mic up so they could hear me this time. And this week, it's the State Fair over in Huron, the 28th through the 1st. The opening makes me wonder if there are some things that you'd like to share about the importance of the State Fair and a memory or two that you have.
I think, well, I was thinking about that driving down here. We didn't, my first State Fair that I saw was not as a 4-H participant. It was between my junior and senior year. We grew up North Reliance. And two things, I know we had a 4-H club, but my dad was more of, well, look, we're cutting silage. We don't have time to be doing that kind of stuff and, you know, this and that and the other thing. When I got to South Dakota State and began to know really, really well young kids that were lifelong 4-H'ers, I realized the importance of it. But I still remember that walking through the barns of the 4-H and seeing high school kids from Chamberlain, Reliance, Presho that I'd known, and they'd been there for 2 days, sleeping there in their calves and their pigs, and way down deep, I knew I'd missed something. Now we go every year, a couple times a year. We'll be up there a couple times this year, but it is, you know, there was a conversation a few years ago about whether or not we should support the fair, and, you know, and there are two logical sides to that, but it's one, it's still the focal point for the youth in the state. Make no mistake about it. If you want to see all of the agriculture of youth, and even the youth now, because 4-H now has moved into the urban areas with the, you know, with the vegetables and the cats and the rabbits and all, it's still where kids gather for 4 or 5 days from all across the state to participate, to compete, to get to know each other better. And of course, there's everything else that goes on in state fair, but it's still about the kids as far as I'm concerned.
You know, and it's a nice contrast this week, the new building that they're thinking about for next year, the 4-H and the Century Farms. Yep. That's something that's becoming bigger in the Midwest states.
If you never attended that luncheon or been a part of the program, it really is neat to see the number of farm families. You know, it's still agriculture in South Dakota, I'll get a call from Lucas if I'm wrong on this, but 98% of the farms and ranches in South Dakota are still family owned. Some are bigger, they're still, you know, there may be a 20,000 acre ranch, but it's still 3 and 4 generations that operate it, many of them that go back to the homestead days. The thing that's interesting about Century Farms is so many farms and ranches, including the Wooster farm that my grandpa Wooster was on, were lost in the 30s. And then they'd get them back, but there was a 2 or 3 year stretch where it may have been owned by Equitable Insurance, but it wasn't in the Wooster family. But when you see these people that were able to dig from 1882 all the way to right now and never lose the namesake, I think that's what's really impressive about Century Farms.
So what's in the next publication of the Tri-State?
I had to ask, you know, associate editor, I don't really do anything except stand around, drink coffee, and act like I'm, because that's what comes.
They turn your mic down, too, at the meetings, right?
Yeah, that's what they do. There'll be stories that were done at Dakota Fest, stories that were done at the Clay County Fair, which comes up, as you know, the second week of September, and the Tri-State Neighbor is a big part of that. We're over there all week. And then stories out of, you know, what new technology in agriculture, individuals who are leaders in agriculture, and Barry Amundson and Bruce Falker on scene doing those. So the next issue will be, I won't call it a review, but stories that were captured at the fairs, that'd be a big part of the next issue.
He's the woo factor in the show. Jim Wooster, we appreciate you.
Thanks,
and
Bill.
You bring a new energy that we're glad to have with us.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Rick Shields is our Midwest Communication Farm Director. Rick, good morning to you.
And good morning. How are you doing, Bill?
Doing fine. Friday, Secretary of Agriculture Lucas Lynch on our show announced that they've got more of the trains, more of the locomotives coming to move the grain. It's going to be a bumper crop. Are we going to have enough to get a big difference made with additional cars, additional engines?
Well, certainly the shortage has been a statewide issue, and that is going to be the question there. If the harvest, here I have one estimate between 120 to 150% of normal as far as wheat is concerned, get maybe a bit of interference from the rain there slowing down the harvest here to get that 83 hundredths of an inch of rainfall Sunday morning in the Sioux Falls area. More rain is a possibility, and that slows down harvest time, of course, as the week goes along. But still reports from some people of having to go from elevator to elevator. This is in the eastern part of the state, but it seems to be a statewide phenomenon, as we said, sometimes having to go, you know, like 50, 60 miles or more to find what's a place there for placement. And it's really a lack of bin space from last year, shortage of rail cars still being reported in some places. So it's going to be just a little bit of time before the turnaround can take place. But we'll certainly hope for a better outcome than in 13.
You know, there was an announcement made in South Dakota. It could have been made in any of the other states that Midwest has radio stations. And that dealt with a South Dakota trade mission to Russia had been called off. Just how much is the cold shoulder that we're giving to the Russians affecting agriculture?
Okay, well, it affects agriculture. Of course, Russia does automatically. They import 40% of their food, and so they're scrambling around, have secured some alternate sources, Latin America for one, and also parts of the Middle East and East Asia as well. Several operations in Chile and Brazil, of course, impacted there. The U.S., not so much. Again, not a big a big blip on the radar like it used to be back in the days, like the grain embargoes we've mentioned before in 1980. So there is some, again, it's making a difference, but not a huge amount. And another big story this week has been pork trade with China and ractopamine in U.S. pork being figured or at least used by the Chinese is also another opportunity to slow down and stop trade at least for a while. So, again, not the enormous story that it could have been, not as big a surprise for a lot of Russia watchers when it came to the WTO figuring that Russia would not be one of your prime candidates for a reliable trade source. Seems to be easily giving way to various kinds of international and political disputes, and that's been kind of a history there. So here we are back to square one, and maybe not a big surprise with the trade mission delay, and certainly not a huge interference as far as market share is concerned.
Rick Shields, Midwest Communication Farm Director. Always a pleasure to have you join us.
That's why I look forward to Monday.
You betcha. Dwayne Melama, Billion, has joined us to talk about the Big Ram Giveaway. Dwayne, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Kello News Talk, 1320-1079, along with the Billion Ram Salute, the backbone of agriculture, is making this all come about. Tell us about the vehicle that's involved.
All right, the one that we're giving away is a new quad cab express with a Hemi engine, of course, to help you tow whatever need to tow. So it's a great truck.
And it is a 24-month lease we've given away early next year. Plus, you have an additional $10,000 off on a vehicle you want to talk about this morning.
Yeah, no, this truck we're giving away is a half ton, but, you know, with all the farmers out there listening, I think most of I don't know a farmer that doesn't own a truck. And most of them either have a half ton, three-quarter ton, or one ton. But most of the farmers out there are pulling big, you know, big trailers with the heavy-duty trucks. And right now, you know, it was just published that August is the best time to buy. And, you know, I'm not here to simply try to sell trucks to these farmers, but at the same time, I kind of am. It's a great time to buy trucks right now. We're taking up to $10,000 off. You know, you get a $60,000 diesel, and you can get into that thing for $50,000. That's a huge discount. It's a big savings right now.
going back to our ag side of it, this is big for us. You know, we're just getting into the ag side of it. We got a guy like Wooster. We got Lucas Lynch. We've had the Secretary of Vilsack on, Rock, and all these people that are talking agriculture. It's a nice fit for an old friend, Kettle Radio.
Yeah, it is. You know, I grew up on a farm, too. You know, I've got a farming background as well. And, you know, I think it's just a great fit. I'm glad we can be a part of it.
All right. So tell us again about the truck.
Well, the truck that we're giving away is a new quad cab, half-ton Hemi. It's the Express model. It's a sharp truck. It's got the 20-inch chrome wheels. It's got the Hemi engine, trailer tow package. It's a truck that, you know, as I put it, years ago, people just had trucks to use them as trucks. But now people have trucks to use them as their car and the utility of what they need a truck for. So, and this is that vehicle. It's a sharp-looking vehicle, and it'll get the job done.
Dwayne Millima with Billion. We appreciate you taking time. Appreciate you being a part of the Big Ram giveaway early 2015.
Appreciate it.
All right. The Starks are on the road today. I'll bet they've got a Ram truck. It just seems like something that if they don't have, we're going to call them back to town from the Twin Cities and get that straightened out. We do have Roger and Travis, and you guys are on the road. Tell us what's happening with you today.
Just looking through the windshield.
So how's it look when you look through that windshield?
Right, and cracked. Yeah, I got a cracked windshield, but the world still looks pretty darn good here.
You know, one of the things that Lucas Lynch did explain with us on Friday was that it's never going to be enough, but they do have some locomotives and rail cars that have been added to move the grain, which should make some difference, but with a bumper crop out there, there's never enough.
It's going to be like a pimple on a pretty girl's back. It's going to be unnoticeable. We're going to have piles and piles and piles of time. You know, and part of that problem is you're going to have such tight margins. Transportation's going to be expensive. Commodities are going to be low priced. So you're going to see people choosing not to ship it. And, you know, I don't have an answer. The only answer I have is fair. And the bad part is, you know, with what goes on, the supply and demand really has come about in transportation. There's a lot more demand than there is supply, so I would assume we're going to see more and more trucks on the road, but where are they going to get the people to drive them?
Now, last week you were with us over at Dakota Fest, and you're out helping a company with some planning today. Abby Vanderwerth is doing something in Texas with Holt McDowell. You guys are pretty much known around the country.
We try to be. We operate, and Travis and I and the ag filler operate 7 states right now and soon to be more. We just got a new addition. We just got a new addition to our family on Saturday. We got our drone. So we're going to start using that to enhance our ability to do property insurance, be accurate, and save people more and more money. And accuracy and saving money are kind of a big deal. Yeah, we're like flies, you know what? We're everywhere.
You know, it wasn't bad enough. Your truck could hit me going down the street. Now you're going to get me with a drone from above?
Well, Bill, at your height, I don't think that's going to be a problem.
Oh, it's tough all over. Holt University, tell us the importance there.
The big part for us is bringing in educated people to spread knowledge, to give an environment where people can ask questions and make connections and build that network. So what we've done is we've provided a platform where people can request additional education from specific individuals. We try to bring in those people and share that information with everybody. We try and record that information, provide it on an on-demand basis. So it's one of those things that we find the education piece is very much lacking, and we want to make sure that we make it available to as many people as possible.
You know, one of the things that's going to cost the ag environment a lot of is regulation. And you read a regulatory manual, and there you have 10 different guys give you what it means, you'll get 10 different answers. But one of the things that we're doing is a big push that OAL's doing is compliance. So we're bringing the people in that will be doing the regulation
and we're not bringing in some guy to give his opinion. We're bringing in the people that will come out to your facility and inspect it. We'll ask for their opinions on real-life scenarios, so then you have some guidance when it comes to, you know, when it's your turn to be inspected. And trust me, it'll eventually happen. It's going to come to everybody.
I think we told you about the EPA, and we went to the EPA and actually took them out to one of our clients and said, okay, now tell us. Here and what, and it actually turned out to be much better. Went a $25,000 fine to a $600. So that's kind of all our learning field. But
yeah, Hoyle University, you access it on hoylepatel.com. We'll have a laydown of schedule information as it relates to EPA education, OSHA, you name it. We've got more attorneys and accountants. And you know, if there's information that's not on that schedule that you'd like to see us put out there, you let us know and we'll find the people to provide it.
And Hoyle's first football game is Saturday night, and the tailgate will be on Saturday afternoon.
I love that. I love that. The Starks in the Twin Cities. Drone did not get to go on this trip, but they can be called into play at some other time. Guys, always appreciate you guys, and of course, you're the sponsors of iGrow.org.
Thank you. Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to visit with Peter Nielsen, SDSU, about the 4-H part of the fair this weekend. Well, if you haven't paid attention, it's Fair Week, State Fair Week. Peter Nielsen, SDSU Extension 4-H Youth Director, is with us via Skype in Brookings. Peter, you're looking good this morning. As we talked to Rocky this morning, we want to thank you guys for Dakota Fest last week.
Yeah, we're glad to have hosted you, Bill, and as always, you're welcome back.
Well, when we talk about Dakota Fest, it also fits with the Sioux Empire Fair, South Dakota State Fair, all signals at the end of the season run for the animals, the projects, and the crops seem to be getting there.
And we all, this is now when we start to turn our attention toward that upcoming harvest period.
Any credit issues with the bumper crop, but storage and transportation still being out there, Rocky?
Well, yes, Bill. This year we've seen that drop in the commodity prices. We've seen an increase in our basis cost out there. And then the other wild card, if the crop comes in wet, what will be the cost to dry it? So,
you know, one of the communities that Plains Commerce serves is Hoven, and you found a way to get the 55 or 70 or so kids back in school.
Yeah, the community is going to utilize the hospital that is there. It's currently vacant, so it worked out right. They'll have everybody close to being close to under one roof for the first time.
The other thing, too, is you guys had a lot of people come through your booth, 524W, over at Dakota Fest. You must have had hundreds.
Well, I tried to get a count. Roger and I tried to keep a count, and we let go after about 400 people through there, so...
You know, I don't know if it was the money, our broadcast, or the peanuts you had on the table. What was it?
Could have been a combination of all three, but I'm sure the money booth didn't hurt.
When we talk about Plains Commerce, we're talking about a bank that serves rural areas as well as a couple of locations in Sioux Falls. Why is that so important in South Dakota?
Well, they can find a partner to work with in their business, be it either a small business or their farm. They can sure come to Plains Commerce and find a partner to work with.
Plains Commerce Bank, thanks for all you do for agriculture and those all over South Dakota. Rocky, thank you so much.
You're welcome, Bill.
All right, Peter Nielsen, have we got you mic'd up now?
How about now? Can you hear me?
We can. It must have been that old 4-H building at Huron instead of the new one that's being planned, don't you figure?
Well, of course. We gotta make sure and break in and build the new stuff and make sure we... provide the best way to do it. So it must be a microphone today showing the example.
simple things. 4-H'ers are headed to Huron. What should they expect this year and next year?
Well, it's an exciting week, of course, Bill. You alluded to it earlier, and sorry we weren't on, but every 4-H kid is dealing with a little bit of anxiety even as they go to school this week. They forget that this is the culmination of what they've been doing all summer, and definitely a busy time, and they're looking forward to getting to that state fair. Sure, they may have a football game on Friday night, but definitely they'll be there. When they get there this year, they're going to kind of find a couple different things. Obviously, we're building the new building, and this year all the exhibits from a static standpoint or display exhibit standpoint are going to be piled into that National Guard Armory that we've always used in the past, but this year it's going to be a little more full than usual, so it's going to look great. but it's definitely going to be a little bit less elbow room than there's been in the past. And of course, your traditional areas of the fair involving livestock and speeches and judging.
Peter Nielsen, 4-H Youth Director. How many 4-H'ers do you expect?
Well, we roughly have looked the last couple of years, and we're right at a third of our entire state actually brings an exhibit to the fair, entire state population as far as 4-H is concerned. So you'll have almost 3,500 kids representing their 4-H projects throughout the year at the state fair.
And we have parents out there that are saying, my kid should be involved in 4-H because it's more than just agriculture.
Well, that's correct. The state fair, though, we love and adore it, and it's a great part of our tradition. There's all kinds of things going on outside of the state fair as well in terms of projects and community service and leadership activities. So as we look forward to the future, we want them to make sure why wouldn't you want your kid involved in the 4-H program? And that's going to be with many options available nowadays, that's going to be one of the big things we push into the future is that leadership and community service.
All right, Peter, how do they find out more about the fair if they're interested in 4-H or interested in when particular classes will be judged?
Well, there's a perfect way to always look at that, and I love to talk about those types of things. Easy to go to igrow.org, find that under the 4-H section. Of course, you can also contact your regional extension office or your local 4-H youth advisor.
Peter, we got you scheduled for Friday. Does that still work?
Still works.
Brock Nelson, International Trade Director for Sioux Falls. Yes, it's Monday. He has another trade story for us, and this one comes from Milbank.
Milbank, South Dakota, and I'm proud to introduce Laura Foss as well as Kel Stingle. Kel is the president and owner of Stingle Oils that specializes in flax oil.
Nice to have both of you with us this morning, Laura and Cal.
Hello.
Good morning.
Cal, I have got one of my best friends is from Milbank, and his name is Stingle. Guy by the name of Jack Stingle. Does that ring a bell?
Yes, it does.
He told me that it was some cousin relationship, but he thought you were a pretty good part of the Stingle family. Does that work?
Yeah, we'll claim each other.
All right, Rock, let's get into what they do and why it is so important for South Dakota.
Well, I've dealt with Cal for quite some time, and Laura has been with his staff for the past, I believe, year and a half, something like that. And it's a come true story where Cal... farming background, went out to Washington, the state of Washington, moved his family out there, and learned that, he started working for a flaxseed oil company out there, and learned that they were bringing flax from the Midwest, primarily north of South Dakota, out there to process. And he's thinking, yeah, I'm a hometown boy. Why not grab the reins and come back to South Dakota and start a business and hire some people and make good of myself and the products that are grown in the state?
So, Cal and Laura, how big a deal is this, and how wide is the distribution?
Well, it's a growing business for us, and we continue to grow, and every year is a growing business there. We're doing between 15 and 20% growth every year here. We've shipped product to, I believe, 19, 20-some states here, different products there, whether it's the flax oil or the byproduct of flax meal. And so I've got an ever-growing business.
And it's used for human and animal consumption, is that correct?
That's correct. We do all the flax oil is produced for human consumption because we have to meet that requirement. And then the oil can also be used, obviously, for the animals, too. And, in fact, some of my customers insist that it be at least human grade for theirs. I've got one customer out in California that takes a considerable amount of oil and is going for the horses. And also we do... the flax oil can also go for pets, and sometimes the pets are as much of a family as anybody else is there.
Laura, you handled the sales and the marketing side of this. What kind of reception do you have in the marketplace with those clients you deal with?
Well, the product itself is starting to just grow because people are becoming more aware of the health benefits from flax. Medical and the dietary industries are telling us that it's vitally important to our diet to get the omega-3 fatty acid that is high in the flax seed. The interest is growing mostly because people are becoming more aware and educated of those health benefits. And so, it's not a tough sell anymore just because people are becoming more knowledgeable and educated on that product.
Okay. okay, for those people that are out there that maybe don't understand how the product comes together, Cal, Laura, Rock, explain.
Well, the flax seed is unique in that it's high in oil content, and that oil is high in omega-3s, and that is what is called an essential fatty acid. It's one of the good fatty acids that is needed, and it's called an essential fatty acid because it's essential for everybody's body, including the pet's bodies, and it cannot be made by our bodies, so we have to take it from an external source. And the flax oil is probably the most common vegetable plant source available to us. The other most common ones would be fish oils, cold fish oil or something like that. And if anybody's ever had to take cod liver oil, that's what the omega-3 was in there for. Taking cod liver oil is not very much fun, according to what I've been told.
For human consumption, how do you take it into the human body? Do you can you cook with it, or do you put it over some of your foods?
No, you cannot cook with it. We do a cold press, is what we call it, and the oil is never above 110 degrees Fahrenheit. And that's getting above that temperature breaks the oils down, and you actually end up with linseed oil, which is paint thinner, and that's not very good to ingest. So we insist that you take the oil in a cold form, on top of a yogurt or with mixed in with something. And just recently, here in the last year, when Laura came on, we started doing salad dressings and mixing up our own salad dressings using flax oil as the main ingredient rather than soybean oil or canola oil or any of the other vegetable oils. And so we're using a flax oil base for that, and we have that available in Sioux Falls.
We're at in Sioux Falls, and then what flavors do you have?
We have it. We're at the Farmers Market, the Falls Park Farmers Market, every Saturday from 8 to 1 o'clock. We've got a booth there. And we also have it at a couple of the Hy-Vees in town, at Pomegranate, Sioux Falls Co-op, and at Cheese World there. We have it available in all those stores. And we're looking to increase our exposure there all the time and get it into more stores and work our way into the Minnesota state as well. The flavors I have, we have a ranch, a raspberry vinaigrette, an apple spice. We have a French, a Western, and Western with horseradish. And our two, probably our two most popular ones is a stone ground, a honey mustard and a sweet honey balsamic. And one of the nice things that we're doing with that is it's all natural ingredients, but we're also using South Dakota honey as a sweetener in most of those products there as the natural sweetener. And no corn fructose syrup or any of these other chemicals or preservatives are mixed in with it.
We're talking with Cal Stengel and Laura Foss of Stengel Oils, Rock Nelson in studio. I'm seeing in the notes you guys have had a pretty substantial growth, 15% every year, and you're looking now to do some exporting to Hong Kong.
Yes, we started doing that the first of the year there, and that was going very well there. And so we're looking to continue that and expand that. The Chinese there in Hong Kong, what they were doing was they were taking our flax oil and mixing it with cottage cheese and serving it to cancer patients. And it was supposed to be helping out with the cancers involved there. And I haven't seen the direct results of that or anything, but that's what they were doing with it. And obviously looking at more markets into China there too as well, if that works out.
You know, the fact that you did move back to the Midwest and the fact that you got 10 employees, including your wife and a couple of sons, there are some work standards in the Midwest that make you feel like you can grow your product out of Milbank.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
With a hard work ethic and being so successful, I think it's nothing but going straight up into the sky as far as the quantities and volumes that you're going to be selling in the future, with everybody being aware of the health needs to better themselves.
Well, and I think the other advantage to Stengel Oils is the broad variety of products that we offer and the markets that we can go into. So not only is it, you know, do we have the consumer line, we have a pet line, and then we have a large bulk and egg line. And so we're very broad in the reaching of who we can touch with our products. And that's, I think, the other piece to Cal's continued growth is that he didn't stay narrow in his business model. He decided, I'm going to have to get my product out there to a variety of people to continue this growth. And so that was, you know, expanding into bottling the flax oil for consumers and then adding a pet line bottled flax oil and then saying, oh, okay, so what else can we do for our consumers? Well, now we've added a salad dressing line and you know, a couple other little things about Cal that he's done with his business in the past was he also reached out to other egg-related businesses that are growing Arona berries. That's an example. He has a client down in Iowa who they grow Arona berries. Well, they buy his flax oil, and they use they crush the Arona berries and mix it with the flax oil, and then they offer that kind of as a flavored flax oil, and they bottle it, put their label on it, and put it out on the shelf as well. So, you know, Cal didn't keep his business model narrow, which I think is going to, it has and will continue to just lend itself to growth and expansion.
Laura Foss, Cal Stengel, Stengel Oils, Rock Nelson, another good international story.
Thank you for having us, Bill. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you guys so much.
We appreciate you and keep us posted on the growth of Stengel Oils.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Craig Marquardt, Advanta Mortgage, up next. Craig, we're in the last week of August. I'm curious how we're going to finish the last of the summer weeks.
Well, I don't think the last week of August is going to be a big surprise with trading in the mortgage-backed securities market, so I think that the month end is going to be pretty much consistent with where it's at right now. So the rates are hovering between 4.125 and 4.25 throughout the whole entire month. And I think they're just going to bounce around just like that. And today, the conventional Fannie Mae 30-year fixed rate is just barely holding on to 4.25% with an APR of 4.443%. With a little bit of improvement in the market, I think we're going to see it drop back down to 4.125.
One size doesn't fit all.
Rates are always subject to change based on the current market conditions as well as the specific loan program and the individual borrower's details. And specifically, you know, we're quoting the Fannie Mae rate and the FHA rate and the VA rate and the South Dakota housing rate. They're all different.
How do they reach you?
They can give us a call at 275-2777 or they can check us out online at www.advantamortgage.com.
Craig Marquardt, the senior loan officer at Advanta Mortgage. Mortgage bankers you can count on. Let's make it a great week, Craig.
You too.
When we come back, we'll check Coima-Kamig. We'll also check with the State Fair Foundation on their new building. How are they doing on the fundraising? All a part of It's Your Agribusiness. Scott Verilich, Coima-Kamig in Sioux Center, joins us. How are you doing this morning, Scott?
I'm well, Bill. You?
Less than an hour now. We'll look at the commodity quotes on Kettle News Talk 1320, 107.9 at 11:30. But the trending I'm seeing this morning is some rally in the old crop beans.
We had a pretty wild week there at the end of last week and kind of into this morning. The soybean meal basis took off, got a little strong. All of a sudden they were short and needed beans now. And so we had a pretty big rally. I mean, September was 20 cents over the November bean contract, and this morning it got as wide as $1.50 above the November bean contract, and now it's kind of steadied a little bit for now and flipped lower. I think processors were sitting on their hands waiting for harvest and just probably couldn't quite make it there. So we knew that we were tight, and I think this is probably one of the last runs that we'll get before we start looking at some harvest pressure.
Stable cattle, that's not been something you've talked about.
Right. Cash cattle, I mean, they have been coming down, and the futures have been coming down significantly. Cash cattle prices actually held this last week, and we're up a couple dollars. So good to see a little bit of a sign there. And some of those cattle that were bought on Friday are going to be hanging by today or tomorrow. On some of them that were sold to a certain packer. So they're still short bought. The fundamentals are still, you know, positive as far as short numbers. And demand has been okay. It slipped a little bit, but I guess we'll just have to be suspect to see once we get into the September 1st, get into a new week, they'll be able to pull contracted cattle for their September contracts. They might pull off them for a couple weeks, and that's what's happened the last 2 months. The first 2 weeks of every month have struggled a little bit as they chew through contracted cattle before we get a little leverage back and rally to the end of the month.
I'm not seeing the word hogs in recovery very often, but it's in your vocabulary this morning.
I'm trying to put it there. They're acting like they want to recover. They've been on this steep downtrend line for a month and a half now. It's just been a grueling downslide here. But the last 2 days, you know, they've come off their low significantly, about $3 to $4 off the low. And we're right up against that resistance line where we need to break. And we keep hearing that the news is trying to turn. The news is going to turn, but the Packers have the trend as your friend motto at the front of their minds, and they don't seem eager to want to pay up the cash, and they're kind of bought up for quite a while, for at least a couple weeks out. And at least our weights are starting to come down a little bit. They're getting chewed through some of those heavier weight hogs that we had, and we're hoping that this is the sign. The news is turning. We can finally bust through this. I think the confidence is building.
When our audience needs more information, Scott, how do they reach you?
Give us a call, toll-free, 1-800-358-3047.
Scott Verilek, Coima K-Mig. Thanks as always.
Thanks, Bill.
State Fair launches on Thursday, and Lauren Noss is the chair for the State Fair Foundation, funding the new exhibit building. And this morning, Lauren, good to have you with us. Even the farmer's daughter was talking about the importance of going to the fair.
Well, yes, we have lots of excitement going on this year for the State Fair. We're as the old Clover Hall that once was there, that was the all the 4-H exhibits were in, has now been gone. Thanks to the generous donation of the City of Huron and Beadle County for volunteering and donating that labor to remove that building so we can go forward with the new what will be called Norby Exhibit 4-H Hall for Youth that we hope to have up by next year.
We're hearing from Peter Nielsen this morning, 3,500 expected. So where are we as far as the fundraising is concerned, and how do people still help?
Right now we're right at about a little over $2.9 million that was raised. As when we kicked this off just a little over a year ago, we had a Earl Nordby, a generous gentleman, philanthropist in Huron, for anonymous donor of $1 million for until we got the another $1 million match, so we reached $2 million. And so far, like I said, we're at $2.9 million. Lots of generosity. We've had the Huron division is a little over $900,000, business division and individuals, $900,000. And right now, the 4-H, throughout the whole state of South Dakota, they're in a campaign raising money. Right now, they're at $75,000. And the last couple of weeks or so, Earl Nordby came through again with a match with all the 4-H clubs and 4-H members throughout the state of South Dakota with a $500,000 match. So once the 4-H, they will match everything, Earl will match everything up to $500,000 for the 4-H. So that will really put us close to that $4 million mark that we are after.
What we'd like to do is visit with you again Friday, see if we're getting some movement, what the reaction's been. The fair opens on Thursday, and maybe help a little bit more in raising some funds to get that building opened in 2015.
Well, that'd be great, because there's going to be people, there's going to be 4-H leaders at the 4-H Ag Center, which is next to the Historic Museum or just west of Gate 3 on 3rd Street. There will be people there all day long. You can sign up for donations. We have a brick. It's either be on the front of the ground of the building or on the building. We haven't really got that formalized yet. That's $1,000. You put your family name or however farm name or whatever you want on that brick. And so that's all week long. If you have questions at the fair, you can call 605-274-3370 for the whole week. We'll get you in touch if somebody wants to do that.
Lauren, we're up against the clock, but we appreciate it. We know people appreciate what's being done to help those 4-H'ers in 2015. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Todd Neuberger, Edward Jones has the Main Street to Wall Street report. Todd, how are you doing this morning?
Hey, Morning, Bill. Morning, everyone. It's a good Monday. Todd Neuberger of Edward Jones bringing you the daily financial market report. Stocks are trading higher, with the S&P crossing 2,000 for the first time, as investors digest positive news from Europe as well as merger and acquisition activity in the United States. Remarks by the European Central Bank president have heightened expectations for additional policy easing in Europe. In domestic news, shares of Tim Hortons and Burger King worldwide are up as the companies announced they are in talks to merge. So far this morning in the S&P 500, the best performing sector is financials. The worst performing sector is consumer discretionary. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 116 points at 17,117. And the S&P 500 index is up 12 at 2,000. And the NASDAQ is up 30 points at 4,568. Volume on the New York Exchange has traded about 120 million shares. Advancers are outnumbering decliners by a 3-to-1 margin. In commodity markets, gold is off $4 at $1,276. Silver is trading at $19.34. And crude oil prices are down another 50 cents at $93.14. In some stocks of local interest, we got Daktronics trading under 12 bucks at $11.98. Citigroup up a dollar at $51.96. Raven had a rough week last week. That's up 17 cents, but at $26.72. Summit Hotel Properties is trading at 11. And Meta Financial Group up 19 cents at 37.50. This is Todd Neuberger of Edward Jones, a member of the SIPC, serving individual investors with personalized attention, long-term financial advice, retirement planning, all that good stuff, Bill, in Sioux Falls, bringing you this Wall Street to Main Street report.
And when our audience needs to reach our good friends at Edward Jones, Todd Neuberger, how do they do that?
Just locally, 371-0375. I've got a toll-free number, 888-371-3983. Many ways to find me.
And when it's State Fair Week, it's opening of the football season, so we'll look forward to that this weekend.
Yeah, I think Friday night, where am I going to be?
I can guess.
All right, take care.
Thank you, Todd.
Bye.
One last stop, and that's Valentino's, 41st and Willow. It is Senior Monday, John.
That's right. And Valentino's is Senior Monday, which means seniors 55 and older get 10% off the buffet all day here at Valentino's.
So if you're a senior right now listening and they're saying, John, tempt me a little bit, what's on the menu that they might enjoy?
Well, that's one nice thing about our Grand Italian buffet. There's something good for everyone on our buffet. I mean, for the even the older generation, they're trying to watch their eating habits, so they're eating more salads. And, of course, we got one of the best, freshest salad bars in town. But they also love soup. And, of course, we got our famous Mexican foreign chowder, our chicken noodle. They love fried chicken. And, of course, we have fried chicken, mashed potatoes, and gravy. We have pastas with six different sauces, baked lasagna, fettuccine alfredo, and pizzas, and, of course, desserts. And also, one of the best coffees you'll taste in town to go with that dessert, our Italian blend.
And I must say that that's sometimes something we don't talk about, John, is what you have for coffee, what you have for beverages. You guys are state-of-the-art.
Yeah, we got a lot of different hot teas, a lot of different pop selections, but we also have teas and the Sobe water, the healthy stuff. But another thing here, you know, we don't put the price of the drink in the meal. And a lot of people just want water anyway. But we don't feel they should be paying for a pop unless they want it. So,
John at Valentino's, we appreciate you. Hope you have a great day. We'll see if we can send some seniors your way.
Yep. Yeah, great day, too.
Thank you. 34,750 is the number. What do you think?
I think we did a good job yesterday. I want to thank everybody for helping out at Jam Against Hunger. It was a big success again. You helped too, Bill. Thanks, man.
Our time's up. Thank you for yours.